Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This probably wasn't exactly what you imagined doing on Palm Sunday, was it, hearing about the suffering and the death of Jesus? That may be because a fairly newer trend within the church, actually it's not really new, it's actually very old, is that this is known as Palm Sunday and the Sunday of Christ's Passion, where we begin Holy Week really diving into the Passion and the death of Christ at the very beginning. And that does some things to us. It kind of gives us some whiplash, does it not? One second you're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save Lord, Hosanna means save Lord, we pray. And you go from 1 minute saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, to, do you like how I had you say all the things that were nasty about Jesus, right? Crucify him, crucify him. We don't want him, we want Barabbas. We want the murderer to be free. How does that feel? How does that feel to go from one to the other, to say, Hosanna to the Son of David, and all of a sudden, crucify him. Get rid of him. We're done with him. Some of it may feel a bit contrived. I mean, that's kind of what we're trying to do here, is kind of give you a sense of things. And you may say to yourself, well, if I was there, I would not be yelling, crucify, crucify, crucify him. But in all honesty, if you were there and you were amongst that crowd and you had the entire crowd against you and you saw what was happening to Jesus, you might be more like Peter and say, I don't know who this guy is. I have no idea who he is. Leave me alone. Leave me out of it. Oftentimes we say one thing and that we'd like to do what God would like us to do. And then when push comes to shove, we find that we're not always ready to make that good confession and say, yes, I stand with Christ. I stand with Jesus. Crucify me right next to him. Right? And that is difficult because in this life, we live with this constant struggle of the sinful flesh. The sinful nature that clings so closely to us, even though we're baptized, even though the promise of salvation is for you and you have been granted it by God's grace through faith, all of which is a gift, even though you have all these things, day in and day out, you struggle. And if you say that you don't, come on, really? I struggle. I'm a pastor. Everybody struggles. Everybody struggles with sin. And if you don't think that you struggle with sin, a little self-examination might help. If you can truly say that you would be there while Christ was facing the mob and the entire world, if you can say that you would be out in that crowd and say, me, I want to go. I want to be up there with Jesus. I want to get whipped. I want to get scourged. I want to get beaten. I want to get crucified. Do you think that maybe you'd have a hesitation? And if you have a hesitation, sadly, that's not good enough, right? God demands perfection. God demands that we be obedient to his law. He demands death for sin. And so if we find ourselves hesitating, say, oh, I don't really think that death is for me. I don't think that I could go through all that. Then thanks be to God that one did for you. Jesus Christ was humble for your sake. He faced his cross, and while he prayed that if there might be a way, that it would pass from him, yet he still said, not my will, but your will be done O Father. He is the one who was humble and who faced death, not for himself, because he didn't deserve it, but he faced it for you, for me, for all who have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. Every Sunday, we do talk about the crucifixion of Christ. Every Sunday, you should be hearing about it at least, that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save you who have sinned and you who deserve death, you who deserve the scourging, the mocking, the spitting, the shaming, you who deserve all these things, he has taken upon himself. He has borne the brunt of these things for you. In him, we see this perfect mind of God. That in him, as our texts from Philippians says, that Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, a thing to be won, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Even death on a cross means that that is the most shameful death you can possibly face. If you've seen a crucifix, which I try to wear one not only every Sunday, but I try to wear one every day to remind me of what Christ has done. And on a crucifix, you see the shame. You see the humiliation. And in our piety, we actually kind of help Jesus out a little bit, and he's wearing a bit of cloth upon his loins. Right? But in all reality, that cloth wasn't really there. He was naked for the whole world to see. He was shamed beyond all imagination. The Lord God, through whose word was created the entire heavens and earth, hangs on a cross for you. To keep this cross before our eyes is what Christians ought to do. To remember that when we see this shameful picture, we don't just see something that is senseless. We don't see some sort of violence that was met upon a guy who just didn't deserve it. It was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Or like some people who don't believe, I once had someone ask me, it's like, why do you wear a cross around your neck? That would be like wearing a noose around my neck, or the electric chair, or something like that. And I said, well, if Jesus died on an electric chair, I'd wear one of those around my neck, right? Because it's not the method, but it's the fact that Jesus Christ has died for you. It is that he has been shamed beyond all comparison. It's that he has suffered more than anybody else has ever suffered. He has shed his perfect sinless blood, and not for people who deserved it, but for people who did not. That in humbling himself to the point of death, even death on a shameful cross, God has highly raised him up and glorified him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That in this shameful spectacle, in this shameful act, there is glory. God's glory is shown in the death of his Son for you. God's glory is shown in the perfect Son of God dying for sinners. God's glory is shown for you so that you would know that in the midst of your suffering as a Christian, you who would confess the cross of Christ, you who would stick your neck out for Jesus, You who would tell other people what they need to know about Christ. You who would even stand your ground and say to someone that shouldn't be doing what they are doing, you say, that's just not right. That's not what God wants for your life. When you stick yourself out there, when you put yourself out there, contrary to the world will say, crucify you. Crucify him. Get rid of him. He's useless to us. But knowing that Christ has been crucified for you, you are now crucified with him. Your sinful flesh has now been crucified. And by faith, you have been granted God's grace. In the glory that Christ shows in his cross is the glory that is given to you. It's something the world doesn't understand. The world doesn't get it. The world looks at suffering and pain and says, yeah, I don't want anything to do with that. The world looks at hardship and discomfort and flees or does whatever it can to get rid of it. Meanwhile, Christ and his Christians embrace the cross that has been granted to us, because we know that at the end of suffering in this life is a glorious life to come. Because death has been swallowed up by death. Satan has been trampled. He has been stomped dead into the ground. He is lost because he fell for the bait. He wanted to kill Jesus because he thought getting rid of him would solve all of his problems. But in the end, Christ's death means new life. And for us, that brings us hope. That brings us joy. That brings us peace. Because we have new life, even though we are in the midst of death. So this Holy Week, as we journey toward the cross on Good Friday, keep the cross before your eyes. Ponder the cross of Christ and the price that Jesus paid for your sin. Prepare for that great day when we will gather after Good Friday on that third day, when we will gather and joyfully feast in the triumphant meal that God feeds us of the body and blood of Christ. Keep it all before your eyes and prepare for the life that is surely yours through the death of Christ. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord.